I feel like the Holy Spirit put this in my heart because when I've taught other messages that the Holy Spirit has given me, I've made a vague reference to, like, you know, we joke about, like, God works in mysterious ways. And we laugh because we know that that's not the case today. But I'm like, you know what? Maybe we should spend an entire lesson just showing that what the Bible says is that there is no more mystery. Because I don't know if you've encountered other people or even used the phrase yourself. I'm sure at some point in my life I've said it as well. God works in mysterious ways. It's interesting, I was actually reading an article about how many times that the Bible is quoted, and it's either misquoted, it's quoted out of context. Many times the quotes, like the tweetable phrases, what do you call it now that it's X? The Xable phrases? That are usually quotes from the Old Covenant. You know, like, here's a really easy one. And again, I know I've, you know, don't pick up your rocks to stone me. But this one gets quoted a lot. Is it says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. You ever heard this one? Do you understand? And I'm not trying to burst your theological bubble. That was a specific quote to the tribe of Israel. That's not a quote to the church. Now, is there other New Testaments that, like, God wants you well, like, he wants you to prosper? Yeah, but that one that's quoted, that was a specific prophecy in Jeremiah to Israel, not the church. But that one gets quoted all the time for today. So I think we need to be careful. I think that we need to understand, and again, this one all the time, God works in mysterious ways. That's not New Covenant. And we need to know these things. We need to counter these things because the majority of the church believes this stuff. I know I was talking with my wife and daughter, and we were talking about different things and different things people hear, like God's sovereignty, God is controlling and allowing everything. And you know, it can get under your skin sometimes. But, like, for me, I move past that because I'm just like, they don't know what they're talking about, right? Please don't believe just because a pastor has a church and a microphone that he knows what he's talking about. I'm pointing a finger at me. If the pastor with the mic in the church is not quoting the New Testament, the New Covenant, I'm not saying you can't teach from the Old Covenant, but if you're trying to apply Old Covenant realities to today's New Covenant realities, that's wrong. And because these things get quoted all the time, is we have a misrepresentation of who God is. So I would tell you that the majority of denominations believe God's mysterious. You can't figure God out. You know, at one moment he'll bless you with a new baby, and then 2 years later, God forbid there's a tragedy, if your baby would die, well, God must have wanted another angel in heaven. People have said those things. God doesn't give and he takes away. Remember, we used to sing a song about that. You give and take away. That's wrong on so many levels. Who took away from Job? The devil. Job, in his ignorance, said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Do you understand if we started quoting from the book of Job, do you know that it says that he has a bunch of friends that just come and give him, like, the worst advice ever? So just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean we quote it and use it today, because there's a lot of bad things that happened in the Bible. You know, there were times where Israel, when they were not following God, they were under siege, they were starving, and they began to eat one another. I wouldn't quote that to try to use that today. Well, you know, the Lord says if you're hungry and you can't find regular food, just turn to your neighbor. I mean, seriously, I know I'm being kind of silly here, but that is the track that you go on where you start quoting things in the Bible and trying to take old covenant truths and make them into new covenant realities. How many of you know that there was a tribe of Israel, God's chosen people, and there were certain things that applied to them and not to us? You need to understand that. You cannot just take the Bible and put it all together and apply it to you. Have you ever felt like you betrayed God before? Well, Judas thought that, and he went out and he did what? He killed himself. But we would not apply that today. Because we understand that we're under grace. We understand that there's forgiveness and mercy and compassion, and we can repent. And so the biggest thing that I think that one of the problems in the body of Christ is when we say things like God works in mysterious ways. When we're going to see today that clearly in Scripture, God's will has already been revealed. So let's jump right into this. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 25. These will be on the screen. They're also in your notes. If you open the app and scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see the notes where it says God's will revealed. Would you agree with me that the Bible tells us that we should know God? Well, doesn't it seem a little contradictory that we should know God, but then he's a mystery at the same time? Okay, this is the words of Paul. This is in the Greek. God made me, this is talking about Paul, a minister for your sake. He's talking to the church in Colossae. I may go and be so bold as say, God made me a minister of the gospel for your sake. To complete the word of God. Everybody say complete. Now, in your translations, it might say to fulfill or to finish, but it's the word complete. Complete the word of God, which is the mystery that has always been hidden. Okay, so this is the part where we can say we didn't know God. He worked past tense in mysterious ways because it says the mystery that has always been hidden, always been hidden. Past tense. However, it has now been revealed to his saints. And you understand that the word saint is talking about the church. Like whenever you see a reference to the saints. Now, it could be the saints that were martyred. So we could be talking about people that have gone on to heaven. But how many of you know the moment they got into heaven, they saw the revelation of Jesus? But this is saying, however, it has now been revealed to his saints. Paul is talking to a physical church located in Colossae. So it used to be a mystery that was always hidden. However, it's now been revealed to the saints. Let's go on. To the church, God has willed to make known. So anytime somebody says, well, you know, God works in mysterious ways, you can say this. In Colossians 1:27, it says it was God's will to make known. So it's literally his will to reveal himself. We shouldn't have to ask this. Well, you know, some things are just mysterious. Well, maybe that's because you don't know him. Maybe that's because you haven't asked him why. Spouses, can you attest to this, that sometimes your spouse does something and it's a mystery to you? But those of you who love a good mystery, you want to figure out why. And how do you do that? Through relationship, through intimacy. So it says it was God's will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the expectation of glory. That's the mystery. Christ in you, the expectation of glory. Most people quote it and say the hope of glory. Hope, literally translated in the Greek, means expectation. If you've been attending here for some time, you know this already. It's important to understand that because we use hope in a different context today. We say, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. That doesn't mean that you expect it not to rain tomorrow. You're hoping. But the word hope in the Greek is translated expect. So it says, the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the expectation of glory. You understand that if Christ lives in you, that we need to get to a place in our faith where we absolutely expect that we have the same glory as Jesus because he's on the inside of us. And one day when he returns, the Bible says we will see him in his glory and we will be like him. So in the spirit, you're already like him, But when he returns and we see him, it says we will instantly be transformed into his likeness, talking about this part of us, the part we can see. So the riches of the glory, the richness of the glory is Christ in you, the expectation of glory. That's the revelation. Paul said to finish, to fulfill, to complete the word of God. The goal of everything, the goal of after the fall, of God redeeming man to himself, was a long story to show us that we could never be redeemed back. No amount of good works, no amount of anything, that God himself had to become a person and redeem the world back to himself. The Bible says that that God was inside Jesus Christ reconciling the word to himself. We talked about that, I believe, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that we are the ministers of reconciliation. We are teaching people, be reconciled to God. Well, how do I do that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So there's the mystery. If people are like, well, God works in mysterious ways. Nope, you can raise your hand. Even young kids, you can say this. You got to be respectful to adults when you correct them. Say, I know the mystery. I know the mystery. It's Christ in me, the expectation of glory. How many of you know, with respect and love, we can't assume because people are older, they've been walking with the Lord longer, that they know more than other people that are on fire and are reading their word and know him? We got to stop with that stuff. We do that in the church all the time. Well, so-and-so's been walking with the Lord for 30 years. Maybe you should take their advice. Are they in the word every day? Are they praying in tongues? Are they laying hands on the sick? Are they light and love and shining? Do you know when the Bible talks about following, when we talk about discipleship, it's saying and doing. When Jesus said, come follow me, he didn't say, come here, sit at my feet, and listen to what I have to say. He came here and said, listen to me, watch what I do, and go and do it. Would you agree that the Bible says, follow me? Jesus is saying to us, follow me. And yet the church is confused of going, well, we can't really be like Jesus. I'm going, that's not what Jesus said. He said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Follow me means discipleship. I think the American church has lost that because we don't understand discipleship. We call a lot of things in church discipleship that is not what discipleship was. And I'm not ripping on churches for that. I'm just saying that if you use a word and then define it as something different than its original purpose, you're going to lose the original meaning of the word. So discipleship, again, if I said, would you like to disciple under me? That means you're not only going to listen to what I have to say, but you're going to do what I do. And I think that the American church as a whole have gotten down the listen to what I say, but the whole doing what I do has gotten lost. Because it's pretty much just like prayer, read your Bible. It's not about being Christ in the earth. I love how Dan Moeller says this. He says, people will give the excuse, well, if it's like, well, you know, he was Jesus, then you can't follow that. But if it's like, well, you know, he was love, that you can follow. Because when we say, well, you know, he's Jesus, we're saying, well, he's God and I'm not God, and so I can't live the way that he did. When we have tons of scriptures that talk about walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll see later in this verse, it'll says, just as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in him. Do you know that it says that when we believe that Jesus will return in 1 John chapter 3 and we will see him face to face, and that when we behold him in that moment that we will become like him? It says because you have this belief, you purify yourself even as he is pure. But could you imagine today if you asked a Christian, do you think you're as pure as Jesus? They'll probably just start stoning you right there on the street. But the Bible says that the hope that you have fixed, that when he returns, that you're already like him in the spirit, but then you'll be transformed into the exact image that you're seeing. That says that's how you purify yourself, just as he, Jesus, is pure. You can go and read it, 1 John chapter 3. It's amazing the stuff that's in the Bible, praise God. It's amazing the stuff in the Bible that a lot of it just isn't getting out there because, wow, what a generation we would be if we actually believed that we could talk the way that Jesus talked and walk the way that he walked. And that includes miracles, signs, and wonders. But it doesn't only include that. What if we showed mercy the way that Jesus showed mercy? What if we showed compassion the way that he showed compassion? What if we showed love the way that he showed love? You understand, you may be the only Jesus a person ever meets. And that's not you're saying you're Jesus. If he's in you, the expectation of glory, then he should shine through you. All right, let's go on. Okay, again, this is Paul. We proclaim Christ. I love this part. I looked this up in the Greek. Gently reproving and teaching. Can I be honest? Because this has happened to me. I wonder if it's happened to you. You ever listen to a teaching, and it doesn't just necessarily have to be me. If you watch other teachers and other teachings, are you learning but then feeling almost gently reproved at the same time? You're like, oh no, that thing he called out, I'm doing that. But it literally is in the Greek, gently reproving. It should not feel like people are like, oh, I'm just so bad, I'm a sinner, this is so terrible, like I can never live right. No, 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 you're being gently reproved. What does that mean? Going, oh, I'm totally missing it in that area. Now I know, right? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, but now I know this, and so now I'm going to repent and live differently. That's all it is. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So gently reproving, when Christ is proclaimed, it's gently reproving and teaching every person in all wisdom, and he gives the reason why, so that we may present every person perfect. Perfect. Complete. Again, the word perfect is the word complete. So the teaching of Christ, the purpose is to perfect or complete everyone in Christ. Well, I could never be like Jesus. No, you already are as much like Jesus in here as you ever will be. Your spirit is not growing. You understand? When these little ones got the Holy Spirit, they didn't get a little kid Holy Spirit. They got the same spirit. And you could put the same spirit in a Christian that's been a Christian for 30 years and a Christian that's been a Christian for 2 years, and you may see the spirit flow more in a person of 2 years than 30. Why? Because the person that may has only been a Christian for 2 years is constantly renewing their mind. God is not going to move when you don't want to move. It's a relationship. You know, because people say that all the time. Well, if God wanted that to happen, he'd just do it. Well, it's amazing. What if we had that same attitude about proclaiming the gospel? Well, the Christians could just be quiet, and if he really wants his gospel to go out, I guess he'd just sovereignly do it. It doesn't work that way. That's not relationship. So many people talk about relationship with Jesus, relationship with Jesus. Well, relationship is not one person. So he says, we proclaim Christ, reproving and teaching every person in all wisdom. By the way, all wisdom is in Christ. There's not wisdom of Christ and then all these other things that you need to know. It's just the wisdom of Christ. I'm not saying if you want to learn how to fix your car that you can't learn how to do that. That's a knowledge. But all the wisdom of heaven, kingdom, all of that is in Christ. Have you yourself or anyone you know tried to figure out God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? I see people doing that all the time. That's why they can't figure out God. Well, God works in mysterious ways. Oh, you don't know Jesus. You might have to qualify that statement and say it very nicely because we live in a world of offended people. But it's the truth. Oh, well, God works in mysterious ways. You don't know Jesus. He's not mysterious to me. I know Christ. And Jesus says, if I've seen him, I've seen the Father. So again, we teach Christ all the wisdom so that we may present every person perfect or complete in Christ. And look, this is why I, Paul, labor and strive. You and I can pick up Paul's mantle and labor and strive to our friends, to our family members, to the person that waits on us in a store, whatever the case may be. We are laboring and striving for this gospel so that we can present every person complete in Christ. This does not say that Paul is striving so that every person can pray the Jesus prayer to go to heaven. Now, is heaven going to be great? Yeah. Can I not wait to get to heaven? Yeah. Paul actually has this internal struggle. He's like, hey, if I had my choice, I'd rather just go to heaven now. But he says, for your sakes, I need to remain. So I'm not trying to take away from heaven, but unfortunately, the gospel has been made everything just about this destination that we go to someday. Instead of Christ in you, the mystery revealed is not heaven someday. It's Christ in you, the expectation of glory. And Paul says, this is why I labor and strive, so that Christ can be formed in you, complete in you, so that you're perfect in him. This is why we teach. He didn't say, I labor and strive and teach so that you have perfect theology. If people ask you, well, what's your theology? Are you Methodist, Baptist, Reformed? You're just like, ladies, I'm a Jesus girl. Boys, I'm a Jesus boy, or I'm a Jesus guy. My theology is Christ, beginning and end. What people are really asking is you to give an answer like Baptist, Methodist, Reformed, Charismatic. They're doing that so we can put up walls and pigeonhole and create camps. Who doesn't want to be in the Jesus camp? But sometimes the Jesus camp looks different because the same people that would say, well, I believe in Jesus, don't believe that we can do miracles today. And that's a lack of knowing who Jesus is. You know what that is? That's knowing who Jesus was. If you know who he is, you believe in miracles today. If you know who he is, you believe in compassion today. You understand we're not allowed to pick and choose the qualities of Jesus that we want. You're either in Christ or you're out. And if you're in Christ, what did Jesus Christ himself say? Those who believe in me will do the works that I do, and greater works will he do because I, Jesus, go to the Father. So people say all the time, well, I don't believe you can do that. Well, that's why it won't work for you. Because it says those who what? Believe. And then people get all offended. Are you saying I don't believe? No, I believe that you believe in Jesus for heaven someday. We're good. Is that what you believe? Yeah. Do you believe that we can do miracle signs and wonders today? Well, then it won't work for you because you just are. And even if they're like, well, they're obviously in some kind of doubt. And the Bible says in James that if you doubt, expect to receive nothing from God. Do you see when we talk about it how simple it is? But mankind, feelings, emotions, situations, offense, that all trumps the word of God. It shouldn't, but for many people it does. I heard a great statement the other day. Time doesn't change the word of God. Think about it. You're in your circumstances for like 3 days and you're praying and you get out of it. You're like, all right, praise God. What if you're in it for 3 years? Do you still believe the truth? Time should not change truth. Let's go on. This is Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 2. If you're like, well, why did you skip over a bunch of verses? I'm not trying to take things out of context. You are more than welcome to read all of Colossians 1 and all in Colossians 2. I'm doing this for the point of emphasizing God's will being revealed and that there is no more mystery. So Paul says, you need to be fully assured that your understanding is complete in Christ. And again, what is he talking about? Are you going to learn how to fix a car in Christ? No. You could rely on the Holy Spirit to do that if you've never done it before. But it's saying that the understanding of heaven, the kingdom, God the Father, all of that is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And again, I would say that that's a large problem in the church is we're trying to figure out God based on Jesus. The church is trying to figure out God not based on Jesus. This is the true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ himself. So you've got the main thing, what's the mystery of God? Christ. And then the greater mystery, or the more to the mystery, is not just Christ, but Christ in you, the expectation of glory. No more mystery. I don't want anybody walking out of here ever think, well, you know, God's mysterious. He's not. If you think God is mysterious in a way of going, is he allowing, is he causing all of that? Look at Jesus. You understand Jesus never said that? He never looked at somebody that had leprosy. And they said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he's like, listen, my father, he works in mysterious ways. You don't understand why God gave you this leprosy, but in the by and by, you'll understand. No, I'm not going to heal you. It's not my Father's will. He's mysterious. Jesus came to reveal the Father. And what did he do? You cannot find one place, and I've yet to be challenged in this. I have people come up and tell me their circumstances all the time, not from this church. But I have people come up to me, pastors, too. Well, what about, and then they tell me their situation. I'm like, I don't know about your situation. I see Christ. And Christ never refused healing to anyone. Could you imagine Jesus' instruction to the apostles? Go out, proclaim, the kingdom of heaven is here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh, wait, let me put a caveat on that. Sometimes if you pray for someone and they don't get healed, don't worry, it wasn't you. It's not my Father's will. Sometimes when you go to raise the dead person and they don't get up from the dead, God just really wanted them dead and in heaven with him. He needed another angel in heaven. Again, these things that we struggle with, why wouldn't Jesus, if he's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, why is he not laying these theologies out that are predominant in the body of Christ? But do you know how they came in? They didn't come from Jesus. They came from experience. They came from emotion. They came from circumstance. They came from hurt. They come from offense. Do you think a mother who loses their child and some Christian or pastor says, well, you know, God must have wanted another angel in heaven. Do you think that's going to motivate that mother to be closer to God? God gave you this beautiful life, and then he took it from you. You should worship him. It's crazy. How is that love? God is love. So the true knowledge of God's mystery is Christ himself. In Christ are hidden all. Everyone say all. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you think you're not very smart, hang out with Jesus. Put on some soaking music. Just ask for his presence. I mean, he's on the inside of you, but I'm talking about sometimes you can experience a physical presence, like overcome with emotion or different things like that. Hang out with Jesus. Read about Jesus, because it says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Because if not, then we get weird. You have a person that thought they were a different gender get a bunch of weapons and go shoot up a Catholic school. And the hate that was going on there about fantasizing about murdering children. This is what happens when we don't understand the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge. This person has no wisdom and knowledge. They don't even know what gender they are. They're so lost. I believe we're going to see this the more and more. Like we'd say, well, there's normal people that don't follow Jesus. Yeah, right now. But you're seeing more and more and more and more of people literally losing their minds and not understanding reality. And I believe it's because they're not understanding the wisdom and knowledge of Christ. Next verse. I told you all these things. This is Paul telling the church in Colossae. I told you all these things so no one will be able to distort your or the truth. Now, I put your slash the because remember we did a teaching on the idea that the truth has to become your truth. Because we have this buzzword in society. Well, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. But here's the thing. If you don't make the truth your truth, then you're still going to live a certain way. His truth, his reality, that what Jesus says is true has to become your reality. We did a three-part series on it. His truth must become your reality. So Paul is saying all of the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are hidden in Christ. And you need to know this. You need to be centered in Christ. The Bible talks about your eye being single and your whole body is full of light. And it's all of this so that when people will come in and do this, well, don't you think? Well, don't you think? And I'm talking about not just the world. I'm talking about Christians coming in with this nonsense when people die. Well, you know, God just wanted them heaven. You got to stay focused on what Jesus says. And I know that's very hard to hear of going, I got to stay focused on Jesus says when professing Christians are going to tell me something else. You betcha. And I know I can tell by the head nods many of you have encountered this. And again, we're not mad at them. Father, forgive them. They don't know. Many of them may only know Jesus for salvation. They don't know his love, his character, his mercy, his healing, his compassion, his love. So he says, I tell you these things so no one, not just the world, no one will be able to distort your or the truth through persuasive speech. I find that interesting because that's the thing today, right? We have these debate stages and we have, you know, this side and that side. And we think if we can just use the right words and the right persuasive speech, we'll be able to sway people. And one group has figured out that actually doesn't work. It's just easier to name call people and guilt and shame them till they change their mind. I don't want to say which side that is, but it's not the right. You guys know I'm kidding. It's Christ. It has nothing to do with left or right. You guys are laughing because you know one side is crazy out of their mind. Okay, let's go on. Okay, so, oh, no, I'm sorry, I didn't read the last line. That was my fault. So no one, to distort your truth with persuasive speech, the stability of your faith rests on Christ. There it is again, the stability of your faith rests on Christ. If somebody comes in, whether it's a Christian or the world, and they're like, yeah, but this, but look at your situation, but what about this person did to you and all that? No, my faith rests in Christ. If someone's hurting you, love them. If someone has hurt you several times and never even asked for forgiveness, just forgive them, because it's just going to eat you up inside. We have to stop questioning our emotions of going, but do I feel like forgiving? Do I feel like doing this? Do I feel like not giving in that what I want to do, but what my spouse wants to do, what my kids want to do? We should get to a place in Christ where we don't have to struggle with that anymore. Because the Bible says that we're here to serve and that our life doesn't belong to us and that we're supposed to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ. So the stability of your faith does not rest in doctrine. The stability of your faith does not rest in church attendance. The stability of your faith does not rest in Bible reading. Should you do all of those things, attend church, Bible reading? Yeah. What are we talking about? We come together as a body to edify and build up to one another. We come together. It says that you come together in Hebrews to stir up one another to love and good works. That's why we come together. Why do you read the Word? There's so much cool stuff in the Word that tells you who Jesus is. If you want to get to know Jesus, read about him in the Word. And then don't just know about him after you've found out who he is in the Word. Now go into your secret place, into your room, into your prayer closet, whatever that is, and just get to know him. And people think it's weird, like, well, he doesn't respond, I don't hear him. I guarantee you, the more time you spend with him, there is a oneness about that. Well, you will just know certain things. It may not be an audible voice. It may be a picture that's put in your head. But you know what? You'll know if it's God or not because you're so close to him. Not that the devil can't drop a picture in your mind, or not that the devil can't put a thought in your mind. But what I'm saying, you recognize right away, oh, that's not Jesus, because he said, my sheep hear my voice. I saw this cool thing on Facebook, and it was just entitled, my sheep hear my voice. And there was a whole group of sheep. This was in another country. And people were coming up, and they're like, here's sheep, different people. And the sheep just, you know, heads down. They didn't even lift their head up to look. They're just down eating the grass. Come on, sheep, head down. And then it says, here, and then the caption said, here comes the shepherd. And he comes out and he calls the sheep in whatever language that he was speaking. The moment his voice leaves, all their heads come up and they start moving as a group over. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. All right, next verse. Therefore, so everything that we just learned, here's the therefore. Here's how we apply it. Just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. When you received Jesus the Lord, did you strive? Did you try really hard? Did you white knuckle it? Or did you just say, I receive you? Right? I receive you. I receive Jesus. Just as it's that simple, walk in him. Your Bible says walk. What walk means, Hebraistically, meaning into Hebrew, it means conduct your everyday life in him. Are you saying we can be like Jesus? I'm saying I don't see in the Bible that there should be any diluting of that. And that's not condemnation, it's an invitation. To walk as he walked, to live as he lived. Now, was it easy for Jesus all the time? No. But I didn't see Jesus losing his mind every time someone didn't listen to him or receive him or any of that kind of stuff. He didn't need a lot of prayer and intercession and the disciples to cry with him when he cried, I just don't know why these people don't listen to me. But we do that. I've done that. I'll just be the only one that puts my hand up. That's fine. I've done that. My wife will tell you that I've done that. That's wrong. It's we preach the gospel, we live the gospel, and whether people respond or not is irrelevant. We live that way because we know him. We're not trying to live that way to impress other people, and then when other people aren't around, we just go back to our regular normal stuff. So as you've received Jesus, conduct your everyday life in him. Be constantly overflowing with gratitude. Here is the definition in the Greek of gratitude. A state of thankfulness for God's grace. I love how it says conduct your everyday life in him. Be constantly overflowing with gratitude. Could you imagine if we were just grateful for every little thing? And in real situation, right? Like I'm doing this too. Like people would say, and again, and rightfully so. I didn't expect people to not react this way. Oh, man, are you okay? Man, that really stinks. Hey, can we get you some sound equipment? Can we do this? Can we do that? And I'm like, yeah, we've got insurance. It's good. And I'm like, I'm just thanking God that nobody got hurt. I'm just thanking God that it's just stuff and it can be replaced. I'm thanking God that they didn't vandalize the whole building or set it ablaze. Like, we just need to be thankful in every situation. When we sit down and pray, I'm not saying you have to do this, but I make a point to do this to remind myself, not for the ears of my wife and my daughter, is when we sit down for a meal, we bless the food, because how many of you know you got to put, like, the double or triple portion blessing on food today? And you know the Bible says that when we bless it, it becomes blessed. And I know it's a thing, because when Jesus took bread and broke it, he says that he gave thanks and he blessed it. And so after we bless it, we say, thank you, Jesus, for this food. There are people today that will not eat. And we are able to obtain it so easily. And I think that again, it reminds us of being thankful. If you all of a sudden were hungry, you could get on your app, go through a drive-thru, whatever. You will be able to get food to yourself instantaneously. That's not the norm. We think it's the norm because we live in America. That's not the norm everywhere. So what I'm saying is, this apparently must be a key to living like Jesus, is to be constantly overflowing with gratitude, which is a constant state of thankfulness for God's grace. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful for one more day. Lord Jesus, I'm thank you that when I woke up this morning, I could do this. And just begin to just thank him. Our prayer life should be 90% thanking him, not 90% here's all our woes and grievances. Oh, and by the way, thank you that I'm alive today. We should be constantly living and overflowing in gratitude. All right, next. So again, he's telling you all of this. So he says, watch out so you not be imprisoned through philosophies. He uses the word imprisoned. You understand before you came to Christ, before you're learning the things that you're learning now, that, you know, if I'm free of me, then I'm free of you. You know, if I know who I am in Christ, it doesn't matter what other people say. It is literally an empowering freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And what does that mean? It means whom the Son sets free, not just salvation for heaven someday, but in your mind. You are complete in Christ. You are as perfect as he is. As he is, so are you in this world. In John 17, Jesus says, I pray that they will be one, I and them and you and me, and that they would be one with each other. If you read John 17, you can't then say that somehow that we're not one with Christ or not one with the Father God. It's right there in the language. And so he's saying, watch out so that you won't be imprisoned through philosophies. Again, this could be other Christians. Well, you know, you're not Jesus. Well, I never said I was Jesus, but the Bible says that I'm complete in him. The Bible says that I'm one with him. The Bible actually tells me that I'm supposed to be living as he lived. I'm just doing what the Bible says. Well, are you saying, I'm not saying anything. I'm telling you what the word says. But people just want to be stuck in this mentality. I'm just a sinner. I'm going to miss it. I'm just trying to get through every day. I can't even believe I got out of bed today. It's just so hard. And then we think we should bring a lot of people to Christ that way. Because then it's just theology and we're not living it. So he says, don't let anybody take you, imprison you through philosophies, deception, empty deception, people's traditions. How many times does that come into play? Well, you know, brother, we've just always done it that way. That's ridiculous. You know how many times that Jesus dealt with the Pharisees and talked about because of your traditions. You make the word of God of no effect. Philosophies, traditions, empty deception, worldly principles, these are the opposite of Christ. And I think this is the last verse. Yeah. The fullness of everything that God is manifested. That means came into existence, came into being that we could see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, feel it. The fullness of everything that God the Father is, it manifested in bodily form in the person of Christ. That's why we cannot try to understand God outside of Christ. That's the reason Jesus came. They weren't understanding who he was, who God was. They didn't know him. And Jesus says, you want to know the Father, know me. And so he was the manifestation. The Bible says that in Christ's body dwells all the fullness of deity. Or it can mean the word the Godhead. So the fullness of everything that God is in the form of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And yet Jesus says to us, follow me. Well, how can I follow him? He's the fullness of the God manifested bodily. He said, follow me. Is he in you? Then the fullness of the Godhead that is in his spirit, and his spirit is in you, then that means it's in you. That doesn't make you God. That doesn't make you Jesus. It's saying that you have been empowered and become one in his spirit so that you can live out that way. In him, here it is again, if we already saw it earlier in Colossians chapter 1, in him you have been made perfect, complete. We need to stop striving for perfection and just realizing perfection's on the inside of us and live from that perfection. We gauge perfection on our actions, our attitudes. Should those be being adjusted? Yes. If we were in the Spirit 24/7, would we ever sin? The answer is no. The problem is we step out of the Spirit. We get into, you know, I want, I need, what about my feelings? What about, that's not spirit, that's all carnal. And so we need to realize that the person of Christ is already perfect and has made us perfect in the Spirit, and now we just go, oh, I'm perfect, I can live perfect. Don't let people tell you different. I don't know how this could be any more clear, and this is just two chapters in Colossians. This is all over Paul's letters. So no more right, no more mystery. Let's stop trying to figure God out, because that is just, it's like a hamster wheel, right? Or the carrot in front of the animal. Oh, if I just keep going, I'm going to get that carrot. It's an illusion. God's mystery has been revealed, Christ himself, and also Christ in you, the expectation of glory.